Welcome to the championship rounds of Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us. It'll be great to be joined by Anthony Slater in about 25 minutes here at 9:30. Talk a little Boogie Cousins, talk a little Memphis Grizzlies, talk a little bit about the, is it dysfunction boiling over down in Los Angeles this early in the season? Magic Johnson having a meeting with Luke Walton about a winless two-game road trip, as if that's a thing. And now suddenly, speculation abounds. And you saw last night, two letters for what happened to the Lakers, M and B. And I think we all know where we're going with
motorboat.
The
motorboat. Yeah.
It's a motorboat.
Oh, boy.
Good old
played the best team in the East.
Motorboating.
Best team in the East.
Who's that, Toronto? Without Kawhi. Kawhi didn't play last night.
Best team in the East. That's all I can say. Best
are you, right now, if you could redo best. Your picks, would you take Toronto to win the East?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Toronto's the best team in the East, and everyone knows that.
Do you like the idea of Golden State taking this thing international? This dynasty needs to go international. It's probably time.
Yeah, I think the NBA should just say, hey, put together a team and let's just play. After they win a title, say, put together a team and let's see if they can, any team you guys want, see if they can beat them in a seven-game series.
Just play the regular season, and at the end of the regular season, just take all the other teams.
Yes.
Take your best 12 guys.
I like that.
And we'll just go best of nine. Forget best of seven. Go best of nine. Warriors against the best of the rest. We'll see who wins.
And what's the team you would field? We've done this before, but now we didn't do it when you were going against Boogie Cousins on the Warriors. So who are you fielding?
Kawhi, LeBron.
Kawhi, LeBron, Anthony Davis. What would be your ultimate starting five? All right, so it's Steph, Clay, Draymond, KD, and Boogie. Boogie.
Right.
What would be the best five to counteract that?
I think you'd have to go with Jimmy Butler in there as well, defensively, because you have
Jimmy
Kawhi.
Butler. Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
go ahead. Jimmy Butler is going to be motivated to play in that game. You know, he plays when he wants, but Jimmy Butler's a guy who defensively can slow down or take away Klay and do the same. You know, he'll take his turns against Kevin Durant as well, so I would definitely have him in there.
We're unanimously putting LeBron on there, right?
Yes.
All right, you got to put LeBron. Okay, LeBron's on. Good. We'll nip that in the butt so Loki can get to it.
Kawhi, right?
All right, so now are we all going with Kawhi?
He's showing you enough that you think that he's pretty...
He wants to play. He's nasty.
Would you? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Right, Kawhi. Now, would we all say
Anthony Davis? Yes. That's a yes. And I think we're looking...
This team looks pretty nasty so far.
You just... I mean, you're
looking... Got to get Russell Westbrook in there. You need someone who's going to take some shots.
Yeah, I don't know if he's... I would go Jimmy Butler better over Russell Westbrook, certainly.
I'm waiting on that. You're in agreement on Jimmy Butler?
I'd go maybe Jimmy, but I would take Kyrie, would you not?
That was going to be a name I was going to throw out there.
Well, it's interesting because as we were going through this, I was thinking you need a point guard, but you really have one in LeBron James because that ostensibly is the role he's starting to embrace in LA. And with this team, you could see him just distributing. So I don't know if you need a point guard.
Great point, because it's positionless basketball, which you're also starting to see in the NFL. Are you not? Not in the sense of basketball, but look at how players are being utilized. Last night, who was the top rusher in that Patriot-Green Bay game?
Receiver.
All of a sudden,
Cordarrelle Patterson
is the top running back in New England, which
runs
has fantasy owners going nuts.
Runs hard.
But that's the thing. You need your quarterback and you need your O-line. But outside of that, the lines are getting very blurred. Wide receivers, running backs, you need guys, you need playmakers that you can line up across the field that can run a variety of routes. Defensively, you just need a bunch of playmakers behind a defensive line that can cover, that can tackle, that can run, that can hit. We really are moving away from this traditional, this is what a free safety looks like. This is what a slot receiver looks like. The teams that have figured this out, the Kansas Cities, look at the Saints yesterday, Taysom Hill, this quarterback from BYU, he's playing 20 different positions.
Yeah. Kickoff return, receiver, running back, quarterback.
Ravens are trying to do that with Lamar Jackson. They ran a lot of packages with him yesterday.
Wide open yesterday, too.
Yeah, and old Joey didn't want to throw to him. He would rather throw it out of the back of the end zone. That's
was that needed for Joey?
It was needed because
Steeler, so I'm cool.
And you pointed out that he was wide open, and old Joey throws it out of the back of the end zone.
Beat Flacco.
So. Yeah, beat it.
Yeah, so you got
all
some
right,
guys.
So here's
you made
the team.
Some guys.
So it's the Warriors starting five with Boogie. We've got LeBron that we're all in agreement on. We got Kawhi. We got Anthony Davis. We need two more. Now, we don't have to all be in agreement, but the name Kyrie Irving's been thrown out there. Jimmy Butler's been thrown out there. We're obviously missing. I'll tell you what. It's not going to make the final vote. Oladipo is balling.
Yes, he is.
He's absolutely balling in Indiana right now.
And I was tempted to throw James Harden in, but I think more and more, if you're trying to construct a team to beat the Warriors, you got to have five guys who can play defense. And James Harden is not a defender. And that's why I threw Jimmy Butler on there, because he's a guy who can play defense at the elite level.
The two I throw out there, I got to throw out Yanni.
Got to.
Definitely. Yeah. Greek.
That's a good. No, that's a good one.
And then Damian Lillard.
Streaky.
And Dame. I don't know if Dame's going to make his way.
And again, defensively, I don't know if he's going to stand up in this one.
With all the guys we have to choose from, it's a good name, though. Giannis, what do you do about that?
I like him.
He doesn't have much of a long-range shot, but are you going to need that with this team? Who's your three-point shooter on this team? I mean, you're not going to say Anthony Davis, although he can knock down a couple.
Yeah.
LeBron's not going to be your three-point guy.
That's for sure.
Damn, put Giannis on that team.
Yeah.
That is nasty. And then you hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, the Chilton Auto Body text line. If you want to help us lay out this team, the super team to beat the Warriors, you can also hit us on the phones. We'll take some calls. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570.
I wouldn't bet against them. They won't have time to gel. I wouldn't bet against them.
Assume you give them a couple months. Let's really stretch the hypothetical, okay, because that would be the first thing that would destroy all this. Well, they're the better team. Okay, fine. Let's assume that this team, the super team, would have a chance. They'd have a month or two to work together.
And no one on that list can shut KD down. You can guard him, but no one can't stop that jump shot that he shoot over anyone. No one on that team can stop Steph from creating his own three. No one on that team can stop Klay. Draymond's going to play defense against anyone.
This is insane.
And Boogie's going to still be able to pound. And Boogie's going to be able to compete with any center.
And the assumption is that it's a healthy Boogie when he comes back.
Right.
And
yes, that's also part of the assumption. Everybody's healthy, so, and everybody's rested.
You're talking, that'll be the only way that you possibly. I wonder what the odds would come out. I mean, it would be maybe.
I could get a line.
Yeah.
I'll get a line. We'll talk to someone in Vegas that knows this stuff. It won't be an official line, obviously, but we'll get a point spread on this.
There's so many different directions you could go with that fifth spot.
I know it. I already figured it out.
I was thinking about Donovan Mitchell, or even if you had a guy like Joe Ingles who could just sit him out at the three-point line and just let him bomb away.
Old Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
You guys are missing the name, and you know who it is. You know who it is.
Do we?
Carmelo Anthony. Whoa, he's a decorated Olympian. He's won
I was really thinking, God, he's got someone. Who is he going to say? Oh, man.
It was well timed off the drum roll, too. You really brought that home.
Why don't you think about it? Even if you don't need to think about it, is what you're saying?
No.
You don't like him taking 21-foot two-pointers?
Oh, my God.
He's not even starting on his own team, let alone on a super team.
And they're not even winning.
No.
They are a mess right now. Speaking of which, from Woj, I don't know if this is a Woj bomb. Maybe a Woj grenade. Maybe a Woj sport gun.
Like a firecracker.
The Rockets are in serious talks with former assistant coach Jeff Bizdelic. Is that how you pronounce it? Bizdelic?
Yeah.
Former assistant coach Jeff Bizdelic to return to the team as a defensive coordinator. League sources are telling ESPN. Bizdelic has resolved some family issues and sides are working toward an agreement to return to the team. Look at them. 3 weeks into the season, look at them. They're thinking about giving up four first-round picks for Jimmy Butler. They're trying to bring in a defensive coordinator. This is the stuff you do before the start of the season. You don't do this 3 weeks in when you realize the ship is sinking. These are panic moves in Houston.
Houston's done already. They're done.
So LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Giannis. It feels like you need someone. I don't know. It feels kind of like Kyrie's the type of guy you'd want to get in there as the fifth. You got a lot of size on this team, a lot of length.
Because Kyrie can make them collapse. He can collapse you. And those guys, they're not knockdown shooters, three-point shooters, but if you give them wide-open shots at times, they can hit them.
I like where you're going with Victor Oladipo, a guy who's explosive.
I like Victor.
Nasty. Nasty. He's having a great year. The Pacers are winning the Paul George trade. You realize that, right? That whole thing looked like just the Pacers just donking off. Now, all of a sudden, they won that deal. Paul's playing well, but that's not the impact Oladipo is going to have long-term in Indiana. It's going to be far-reaching past what George probably does in OKC just because he's hamstrung with Westbrook. Damn.
He's impressive.
It's amazing to think about putting these two teams. So you put LeBron on KD. Who's going to be on Anthony Davis? That's going to be Boogie.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a nice little matchup right there.
They're a wash.
Kawhi's what? Kawhi is Klay?
Yeah.
Kawhi versus Klay. All right. Now you've got Giannis. Is that where you're going to put Draymond? You have to.
Steph's
not guarding him.
He's got to guard Giannis or Anthony Davis.
That's the problem.
Go Kyrie, then that makes it easier for the Warriors because at least that's a matchup Steph can kind of try to handle. But if you go with another big, Steph's going to become a problem on defense here.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the size to keep up with any of these guys. Not to knock Steph's defense, of course, but you see what I'm saying?
And that's why I like a player like Jimmy Butler, somebody who can play the two, the three, or even the four in a smaller lineup.
And Butler can't keep up with Steph, though. You know what I mean?
But defensively, when you're starting to play defense, that team all of a sudden becomes really daunting as a defensive unit against the Warriors.
That's true.
And you've got guys who can take turns on Kevin Durant, because you pointed it out. KD's mid-range, his rise and fire is almost unguardable. So you need to have different bodies going at him.
You can't mute it.
No.
It's
also
unmutable.
In case you were worried about that. Yeah. So it's definitely unmutable.
No question.
All right. Baseball free agency started, and unlike football and basketball, it just kind of starts and then it, you know, it's like global warming. It's just kind of there and it just, you know, exists. And every now and again, you get an update on it. And every now and again, there's some panic. And every now and again, there might be some good news. I don't know if that's the most apt analogy, but we'll go with it. Baseball free agency, the hot stove, hot like global. Oh, my God. I don't know if that's the direction I want to go with this conversation. But Buster Olney had a great piece on the possibility of the Giants acquiring one Bryce Harper, the crown jewel of this year's free agency class. And I'm going to take from Olney's article in the first paragraph. He discusses the pursuit the team had of Giancarlo Stanton last year, and that it wasn't Evans or Sabian or Larry Bear who was the driving force to go after Stanton. It was 85-year-old owner Charles Johnson. This is a direct quote from Olney's article. Johnson is well aware of how the signing of Barry Bonds was a turning point in the franchise's history. Bonds reached an agreement with the Giants in December of 1992 at the age of 28, and for whatever else is said about Bonds, he delivered power and fans for the team. He hit 586 homers in 15 seasons, and in those years, San Francisco opened a new ballpark and usually ranked among the MLB leaders in attendance, home and road. Sources say that Johnson was all in on the idea of adding Stanton, who had a full no-trade clause, and turned down a chance to be dealt to San Francisco, which brings us to Bryce Harper. Essentially, in so many ways, as Olney said, Harper would provide the Giants exactly what they need right now as they sort through the rubble of consecutive dismal seasons. So, Jim Bowden, former MLB general manager, I'm really struggling.
Hang in there.
Former MLB general manager projects Bryce Harper at 10 years, $320 million. And he's usually pretty solid with these assessments. 10 years, $320 million. You're Larry Bear.
Oh.
It's there. As long as if you say yes, 10 years, $320 million, Bryce Harper's a member of the Giants. Are you okaying that move?
I'm not okaying that move. And not only because the price tag is so astronomical at 10 and 320, but I realize that my organization needs more than just one player. You need probably three of your nine regulars to be upgraded. Your pitching staff needs to be upgraded. You need a lot of help that Bryce Harper can't simply offset. So when you're looking to spend money, and I understand that the owner was all in on Giancarlo Stanton, and had Stanton said yes to that deal, I don't think that the Giants would have been a playoff team last year. You would have been more interesting. You would have been more exciting, but you still aren't good enough top to bottom. So for me, spending $320 million on just one guy is a waste of money. It might help jersey sales. It might help the gate, but it's not going to help your on-field product enough.
You'd be excited opening day, wouldn't you?
You sure would be.
You'd at least have that. What do you think?
Well, I'm on the other side of that. I think that you do this move, and yeah, you're right, Dibs, about are you going to be able to compete right away? No. But will this guy make the team better? There's a guy in L.A. that's made that team better. There's a guy in New Orleans, you're talking about Drew Brees, who's made the Saints better. There's guys throughout the league, every single sport, that even though maybe they don't have a championship team that particular year, in due time, they get be able to compete. And right away, they bring instant, at least they bring something to the table. Bryce Harper is a phenomenal talent. He's a guy that you know that can go yard. He's got a bravado about him that people, the fan base, will get enthused about. He's a guy that's going to sell jerseys. Mr. Dibley and yourself last year and this during the season, you guys said you guys rather watch paint dry watching the Giants organization play baseball.
You said that this morning. I don't think I actually said that.
It was pretty much we all were on the same boat. That's saying not necessarily paint dry, but we use the things just like they're not very exciting.
Right. Okay. I'm with you there.
Yeah. So they're not very exciting. Maybe the paint was a little stretch, but we all talked about that. We talked about there was a huge win that was so exciting that they beat L.A. 1-0. There's times that we looked at
McCutchen hit that walk off in April against the Dodgers in extra innings.
Yeah.
Your NL champion Dodgers, mind you.
Absolutely.
That was a fun game.
It really was. So we look at this team and we say, what has they given us? And now you're saying we bring a guy in that's $300 million, you're going to get ticket sales, you're going to get people that's wearing the jerseys. Is that going to make the team better? It is, Joe. And it is. For Dibs to say that if you can get two or three players, yeah, I get that. But does this guy make other guys around him better? How many times you guys seen in professional sports that one guy comes into that facility, comes to that team, and instantly that team becomes better? Not necessarily a championship team. I get what you're saying there, Mr. Dan Dibley. But far as being able to compete, and far as being able to be having guys out there that's now competing and guys are more entertaining, don't you want to be entertained? Isn't sports in that we live in, aren't we living in a society that we want to be entertained? We understand about raising banners. We get that. But in the whole essence of it, isn't it about appearance that your team is competing and has a chance? That's what we're missing here. Everyone can't be the Warriors. Everyone, newsflash Dibs, they can't be. So when you look at a team, you say, bring in a guy that's going to help this team get better and be able just to compete. That's what sports is about.
Did he help Washington get better?
I mean, tons to unpack.
Unfortunately, most of it goes straight to the Goodwill because it has to get recycled or donated. And donate your car today, of course. That was just a hot suitcase. It is a hot mess because you look at Washington and Bryce Harper's been there, and you can't really say that team has gotten better with Bryce around him. And you draw a parallel to the NBA. Well, LeBron James has the ability to pass the ball to a teammate and rebound a teammate's miss. In baseball, it's really an individual game. When you're up to the bat every ninth time, you can make an impact. But otherwise, you know, you being in the order is going to help the guys around you. But other than that, his impact is not going to be felt that wide range from that standpoint. So when you make these comparisons to other sports, it falls a little hollow for me, Lo.
I don't think he handles pressure all that well. That's Lowe one of my biggest
Bryce?
Desserts. No, Lowe.
I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Lowe still.
Wow. Harper. I think that's part of the issue. That's part of the issue I've had with him. What was it? A couple of years ago, they were in an early season series against the Cubs when Joe Maddon started intentionally walking him with guys on. Like situations when you normally wouldn't intentionally walk someone, he was doing it. And he did it how many consecutive times? And Harper went into the tank after that. He was having a good season. Maddon messed up his head. And then after that, Harper had a real struggle down to the finish. Now, he finished hitting .319 two seasons ago, so he picked it up late. But this past season, in his contract year, you knew he was pressing. And he only hit .249, which, you know, he hit .243 two years before that. That is so much money to invest in one asset. That's the thing. One thing goes south for this guy. Like $320 million over 10 years. You open up the season and he gets Garoppolo'd. See ya. Like, that's it. That's a massive chunk of your payroll gone. I mean, he starts to get older. He starts to become disinterested. And let's not forget, he's a left-handed bat. If Bryce Harper's the power guy you need, he's a left-handed bat. Left-handed bats do not have success at AT&T except for one particular left-handed at bat. And this is no Barry Bonds, right? So if you're going to spend the money, I'd rather at least be on a power righty bat so he can drive it into the bleachers.
And for you, Mr. Dan, to say that, you know,
just
what,
right back. Just
for you to say, no. Well, you know, my content has nothing to it and you can't compare this. How many championships did Barry Bonds win, Barra? How many did he win? I'm still waiting.
Olimar. He didn't win one.
And what was he playing at?
Yeah, you low. If you go back to 2002 when Dusty Baker gave the ball to Russ Ortiz.
The point that I'm trying to make here, Joe, is that it's still the guy still sold tickets.
How many titles has Bryce Harper won, Lo? As we're talking titles.
So anyway,
so it's a grand total of zero. So for you to sit here and say that he made Washington so much better and this and that and da da da, it's, you're not even in the right church. You're in the wrong religion. Forget the church and the pew. You're so wrong and so out of line.
I'm in Scientology right now.
Yeah, if that.
Barry Bonds, is he one of the greatest hitters that the game ever seen?
Yes.
That's
okay,
unusual.
So you need to answer that.
Well, no, yes, you do, because this guy.
I don't have the time to utter the word yes
okay,
in that scenario.
Sometimes you do, because the point that I'm trying to make, it's purely not on necessarily championships. It's based upon what the guy can bring to the ballpark, what the guy can bring to the team. And we're talking about having a product out there that we want to be exciting. Is that what we all want?
That's the argument here.
Yes,
do you want to pay to win, or do you want to pay to win possibly through attendance and jersey sales.
I want winners.
Win college, category.
You want to compete, Daniel, and you're sitting here talking about Barrett Bonds and all these things. Didn't win it. Came here, couldn't win it. Still was a great hitter.
I did not bring up Barry Bonds.
Yeah,
Buster only did.
Yeah.
So you're wrong, and you're out of line.
We're out of time. We're out of time. Okay. Sorry, because I know you, he not only upticked you, he arm swept you, and I noticed he got you a little flustered there. Anthony Slater of The Athletic. What's next for Boogie Cousins? Alfonso McKinney. Preview of tonight's Grizzlies game coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
All of us at 95.7 The Game want to thank you, the listener.
Hey, this is Damon, and thanks to all of you listeners. 95.7 The Game is now the number one sports station in the Bay Area.
Thank you, Bay Area sports fans.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marc Gasol and the Memphis Grizzlies come to Oracle, looking to knock off the champs. Will the Warriors rise to the challenge, or will they play dead?
They were dead!
Wants to shoot, does shoot, hits a three, and it's cold, hard cash for Kevin Durant.
Tune in today to find out. Coverage starts at 6, tip-off at 7:30, only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Low and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
He covers the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic. 95.7 The Game contributor Anthony Slater joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, good morning, and as always, we appreciate the time. Let's start with the player Anna mentioned in her update, Sean Livingston. What can you tell us about the injury, the severity, how long we should expect Estot out of action?
So he'd missed a couple games when we were on that East Coast trip. He missed, I think, the Knicks and Mets game, and I saw him pregame in Chicago, and I just asked him about it. He said it was because he wore some old Hyperdunk shoes in the last preseason game in San Jose. And after that game, he started feeling pain kind of on the outside part of his right foot. He said that he didn't think it was serious. He said he was going to go for an MRI. He did go for an MRI. It was clean. They're being super cautious with him. But I guess, like, you know, the pain is still kind of lingering a bit. They're trying to get it to a point where he's feeling at 0%. Maybe end of the week, I think he could maybe play again. I mean, it's not something where they think there's structurally anything wrong. But, you know, they're just so careful with this guy.
Is super cautious the approach they're going to take with DeMarcus Cousins once he's able to really go through full court scrimmaging and get closer to playing? Do you think that's the approach they'll take with Cousins and also all of the players this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say they do some more than others. Like Livingston, especially with his injury history and at his age, they will. Iguodala, they definitely will. Cousins, you know, you have to for many reasons, including, like, this is just such a trampoline season for Cousins. He's trying to get fully healthy so he can get the big contract he thought he could, you know, deserve this summer. So there's no need to rush him back. Obviously, it's not like they need to rush him back for a competitive standpoint. They're 9-1 right now. I haven't been too encouraged by what he's looked like, you know, in the light scrimmages. I guess this is probably where we should have expected him at this point. But just seeing him out there, he seems to be laboring a bit, kind of, you know, picking up that leg a little slowly. So I still think he's a little bit away, and what you said is right. Even when he's close, they're going to probably give him an extra cushion of a few weeks.
Alfonso McKinney, 28, what has he meant to this team, and where has this guy come from, and how good will this guy be, and what's his upside?
Well, I mean, where has he come from is kind of a crazy story. I did a big sit-down with him, put it in The Athletic our Sunday morning, but from nowhere, really, basketball-wise. He left Wisconsin Green Bay as a role player in the Horizon League, who didn't even have a sniff from the NBA. Went to Luxembourg, was in the second division in Luxembourg, and he was on the worst team. The same year the Warriors were winning 73 games, his Luxembourg team won two. They were 2-27 over there. But, you know, he improved in his early 20s. He kind of shook off. He had two torn meniscuses when he was in college. I think he got over that. He played in Mexico. He made his way to the G League. And he's kind of exploded onto the scene, obviously, early this season. I think he's in a perfect fit. You know, pretty much any role player, if you know how to, like, be a role player and you're okay being a role player, this is the perfect team for you. Because there's at times, like he was, you know, against the Timberwolves, where you can be on the court with four other all-stars. I mean, there's just so much freedom out there. Nobody's paying attention to you, basically. And what he's really good, he's a very good hustle rebounder, especially on the offensive glass. I don't know how much you guys have noticed, but he just chases every rebound. And when the defense is paying attention to everyone else on the court besides you, you know, that gives you a lot of opportunity to get rebounds. He's hitting threes at a rate I don't think we can expect to continue. I think he's 10 of 17. This is a guy who has, you know, didn't shoot threes in college, was a mid-30s three-point shooter in the G League. We can't expect him to hit, you know, even anywhere near 50% from three. So that'll calm down. But look, I just, you know, he can defend multiple positions. He was defending Jimmy Butler the other night. I just think he's getting a lot better. And they love his mindset coming from that just grinding mentality that he has from where his career was to where it is now.
Anthony Slater with us here on 95.7 The Game. Before the season started, we do what most people do who cover the NBA. We talk about who the biggest threat to the Warriors is in the Western Conference, biggest threat in the NBA in general. Now that we're a few weeks in, Houston, a team many thought would be a challenge, they're 3-5, they're struggling a bit. If you were to reassess at the moment, who do you think the biggest threat in the West is? Who do you think the biggest threat to the Warriors overall is?
I would still say Houston, and I would say, like, I could see them kind of regathering themselves a bit. Like, number one, I think James Harden came into camp, like, very out of shape. This first few games, it looked like he had no lift at all. I was kind of flobbing around and throwing up layups, and then he tweaked his hamstring, which is usually like a, you know, a conditioning issue when you get those like soft tissue tweaks. So I think he'll get back to his MVP form by midseason when he kind of rounds into shape. I think it's possible that Trevor Ariza, if he gets bought out by the Suns, and you know, the Suns just bought out Tyson Chandler, and Tyson Chandler's going to the Lakers. I can see if that Suns season goes badly, and what are they now, 2-7? It probably will. They buy out Trevor Ariza. I can see him back in Houston, and then announced today, Jeff Bezdelic, the defensive coordinator they had that retired this summer, is apparently going to come back to them. So I can see that Houston team being nearly as threatening as they were last year, even if they aren't right now. Beyond that, I mean, I still like Utah. I know they kind of maybe puttered out to a start that people, you know, it hasn't been as good as people thought, but I just think they fit well in like a defensive, like a, you know, playoff series type of basketball. So I'd say those two in the West. And then out East, I mean, Toronto looks unbelievable, and especially with Kawhi Leonard.
You look at a New Orleans team that's also in a little bit of a scuffle right now. They've dropped 5 in a row. Is that sort of a disappointment enough to maybe cause them to make a change at head coach, or is this something that you think that they'll ride out and hope that Anthony Davis can turn it around on his own?
I think they'll ride it out, at least, you know, for a while. Davis missed, I think, at least 3 of those games. You know, he missed the 2 losses before the Warriors game. Then he came into the Warriors game. I didn't think he played very well. He looked kind of, you know, maybe 70% in that game. They lose that. Then they go up to Portland, and he doesn't play that. Essentially, he missed 4 of those 5 losses. You know, and Alvin Gentry, that was a good season for them last year to get to the second round to sweep the Blazers. I think he's kind of, you know, he's still riding that momentum. So they would have to, I think, give him to at least through like mid-season area. And if they're really struggling then maybe they juggle some things. But it's not a, you know, it's not a deep roster at all. They're probably about 5 guys deep. I like Julius Randle coming off their bench. But in the West, it's probably a, you know, mid-40s win team, and that's fringe playoffs.
DeMarcus Cousins, Keith Kerr has had some words talking about, hey, he's here on a 1 year. He's a rental. We want him to help us win a championship. We also want to help him go get a big contract. How does he fit helping this team moving forward? And what does that mean for him? Is this the guy that's no longer after this year, he won't have a fit here? Or is this Steve Kerr just trying to get this guy to understand what his purpose is?
Yeah, no, he can't. I mean, he doesn't want to come back because the Warriors can't pay him. He's got $5.2 million. All the Warriors can pay him under just salary cap restrictions is about 6.4. He thinks he's a $20 million per year player, and I'd agree with him if he's healthy. So he's just trying to prove his health, help in the playoffs, win a championship, repair his reputation, and then go get that $20 million he thought the Pelicans were going to give him anyways. And, you know, back in the day, he thought the Kings were going to give him that super max. So Steve's just more talking about just the logistics of you know, salary cap restrictions in the NBA. Neither side thinks he's going to come back for $6.4 million. Now, if DeMarcus Cousins says he will, sure, the Warriors would very likely take him back. As far as how he fits on this team, I think he he helps in a lot of ways. You know, that second unit, especially at the start of the second and fourth quarters, that struggles to score sometimes because you got KD on the bench, you got Steph on the bench. That's going to turn into DeMarcus Cousins' minutes, almost Sacramento Kings days with better teammates still. But I think they're going to feature him in those pockets of the second unit. And then even when he's around the All-Stars, I mean, first of all, it's going to be just unbelievable to see five current All-Stars on the floor at the same time.
Sure.
Shoot it. He can spread the floor. Which, you know, this team beyond, the Splash Brothers, KD, a lot of times when they have Iguodala and Draymond out there, sometimes it feels like the floor is restricted because, you know, teams don't respect those guys' shots. You got to respect DeMarcus Cousins' shot in, like, I think 50 games last year. He hit something like 104 threes, so he can really shoot it better than a lot of these other guys. And then, you know, I don't know, he's just so skilled. He can pass. I'm interested to see how he is defensively, especially coming off that Achilles. When you face teams like the Rockets, they're going to try to target him in pick and rolls and see how he can move laterally. Doesn't look great right now, but he's probably still a couple months away. So it's definitely a very interesting good rotation piece for them. But it'll be that first month that he comes back is when we're really going to kind of understand how he really fits on the team.
He covers the Warriors for The Athletic. 95.7 The Game contributor Anthony Slater with us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, dynamite stuff as always. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, fellas.
You were signaling me at the end of the interview about something on TV. What were you highlighting?
It was the two running backs for the Saints.
Ingram and Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara is just a wow. I love watching this kid. I know you were high on him. I think he's one of the better, if not the best, catching receiver running back in the league right now. Le'Veon's not in the league right now. Still continues to hold out. Kamara is just special.
You were talking earlier
it's
about
a new slash right there. Alvin Kamara, good running back.
You know, it was good description earlier as I defend Lowe for the first and only time today. You were making a good point earlier about choice routes, and if you could bring that back around here to the championship hour about what that means for Drew Brees and the Saints offense and why Alvin Kamara is such a good receiver.
Unguardable in the choice route because he has a two-way go. And usually,
could you explain what that is?
Yes, absolutely. A choice, you know, I always talk about CDC, Joe, choices, decisions, and consequences. This guy has a choice route. That means an option route. He can either go in, out. If the safety's not on top, then he can even bend it over the top and keep it skinny and run the seam.
So he has to make the right decision, and the quarterback has to also make the right decision, or you could have a big problem.
Here. Absolutely.
All right.
So the quarterback, they have to be on the same page. And watching yesterday, his ability to get on top of his defender, step on his toes, you're taught as a running back, get on him, step on his toes, and now make him make a decision. And he sits him down, he's able to stack him and move inside. He could either break inside or he can break outside. And Drew Brees and Kamara are on such the same page that when he makes his break, the ball's usually there, and they have nickel guys on him, dime guys on him. They don't even put a linebacker on him. Most of the time now, they're putting safeties and corner on this young man because his ability to run routes and get in and out of routes, and he can separate. They could not guard him. 3rd and 10, 3rd and 8. You saw it several times that he was the primary receiver out of the backfield, and Drew Brees and Kamara on such a great page. These two are just unbelievable watching this guy run those choice routes, option routes. Pretty amazing what I saw yesterday.
Do you like them to win the NFC?
You know what, Joe? I don't. I still believe that the Rams are the better team. Yesterday was a bump in the road for the Rams. It was a hiccup. I think that if you look at what's going to happen once they get Talib back, I think that you still have to give the Rams an edge. Drew Brees has to do so much, and I think that their defense is not on par yet with the Rams.
I think that they showed you the secret sauce yesterday and how you can beat the Rams, which is rally up to Todd Gurley. Every time Gurley was targeted or he was active in the run game, you saw 11 Saints flee into the football.
You did.
And that was a great approach. And I think other teams, not only in the NFC, but around the league, will see that and realize Jared Goff is good. Jared Goff has gotten a lot better. But when you start to pick your poison with that Ram offense, you're going to pick Jared Goff just about every time, and you're going to make JG beat you. And he played well yesterday, but ultimately in these matchups against other elite quarterbacks, he's not quite there yet. So I think the Saints really showed you the secret sauce, and I think it's confirming what I said back in August, that the Saints will win the Super Bowl.
You're wrong, but it's a great...
No, we'll see. And what's funny is...
That's what you get for backing him earlier. He turned on you quick.
I told you it would be the first and only time I would back him, and I will simply point out, Joe, to you and the rest of the audience, that I wasn't wrong. I was right because I picked the Saints in Low versus Dibs. You, in fact, took the Rams. So not only did I tell you that the Saints would win the Super Bowl, I then doubled down on it when we made our picks last Friday, and I then again went with the Saints yet again. So for you to say that I'm wrong is in and of itself wrong.
Well, also out of line when you really slice
no,
it. Because
it's actually in line with the show somehow. But it is, at its essence, he is wrong.
I think that at my essence, I don't think that I am. I understand that they won the game yesterday.
Sure.
I think that if you really go through and go player by player, especially starting on the defense side of ball, it's unanimous that the Rams have more talent and they have better players. So I don't think that I'm wrong there. And I would go and I would beg the difference that if you went around the National Football League and got a lot of talking heads, and not just talking heads, but players and everyone in the association, they would probably be on the same in the same church that I'm in.
If only they could settle it on the field, then we wouldn't have to have this debate. Oh, wait, I'm just being told that they played yesterday?
Dibs, you played at home. You played at home. You're supposed
to. Okay, let me ask you this.
Please, Joe. Thank you.
Please,
Saints
Joe.
Interject.
Rams,
take
please.
All projections and predictions you've made prior to this point and throw them out. So don't feel beholden to anything.
Yes.
If this is your NFC Championship game and it's in 2 weeks, it's in 2 weeks. There's no game this week. They're both off. They play each other in 2 weeks. Do you pick the same team no matter what the venue? For example, if the Rams are hosting, are you taking the same team as you are if the Saints are hosting? How much is home field going to mean is essentially what I'm getting at here.
I think it's going to mean a significant amount. Now, if we take all other predictions aside and we just...
Don't worry that you took the Saints before. Don't feel beholden to that.
I would roll with the home team. If the Rams hosted the NFC Championship game and I had to make a pick in a vacuum for that game, outdoor, on grass, at the L.A. Coliseum, I would take the Rams, honestly.
You take the Rams, and that means Saints in New Orleans.
Yes.
Well, are you the same way with that?
No, I'm not.
You take the Rams in both locations.
Regardless.
And the reason why is this, I believe that the Rams are still a better team. And I also believe that the Rams showed you that they can play in New Orleans. It's not going to happen where they score 35 in the first half again.
I don't know if you can just go ahead and assume that. It's tough to win in New Orleans.
It's very tough, Joe. And I'm not trying to discredit.
But Tampa Bay somehow did.
And
they looked really good in the process.
And they scored 42. You got to realize Tampa scored 42 and that day they won. So it was still, the Saints put up a lot of great numbers. My biggest thing, Joe, that I'm trying to take away from this is the fake punt, fake field goal should have been, it would have changed different things, but it didn't happen. So I get that. The biggest thing you guys have to look at when we're matching these two teams up, 35 in the first half for the Saints, it's unprecedented. That will never happen again. I'm just telling you, against the Rams, it's possible, but it's not probable that that will happen again, that the Rams will give up a 35 points. Tlaib is a good cornerback that's going to be back here in a couple weeks. You're going to have another corner now that's going to be able to play a lot better.
No, you're going to have a corner that can play better because Marcus Peters can't play.
Yeah, he's in the burn ward now, Coach.
That narrative flipped in a hurry.
It really did, but now I can roll over my safety to play over the top on him now. So now I can do different things to kind of hide him and protect him in certain situations. So, yes, I believe that Wade Phillips is a better defensive coordinator. I believe now that they have better talent. And now once you get Tlaib back, you can roll over to safety and now bracket certain guys and do certain things that you couldn't do because they don't have that corner out there now. So that will be a huge difference once you get Tlaib back. It changed the narrative of the defense, Daniel.
That was an awesome football game yesterday.
It really was.
Awesome.
It really was.
Football game all the way around. Two good quarterbacks. Two good coaches, two good game plans, plus EV decision-making out there. Defense is trying to make plays, but let's be honest, no matter how good your defense is, in that scenario, it's one of those, hang on for dear life, son. Hang on and try to make a play somewhere down the line. You got a real good one for the most part in Patriots, Packers. But by and large, man, you watch some of these teams, the bummer about that Saints-Rams game was it had me thinking, how far away are the local teams like this?
True.
I mean, that is a different level of football right there. It almost gives you the feeling that if they meet in the NFC Championship, it could be like the year of the Niners and the Seahawks. Oh. They're playing for the Super Bowl, and the other team's coming in second. Because I'm telling you what, I'm watching the Patriots. They've won six in a row. I do not think they are as good as they get credit for, but I don't know who's going to challenge them in the AFC. I know it's the Chiefs. I'll admit, the Chiefs are going to be right there with the offense, but damn. The Chiefs going to Foxborough in January with no defense to speak of whatsoever, that's a problem. Who was going to be? Pittsburgh? The hell out of here. Did you see their decision-making in that game? Tomlin, so somehow the Steelers get themselves a really nice lead before the half. It's like a two-score lead. They're in great shape. There's 30-some seconds to go. They got the ball in like their own 20, and Tomlin wants to try to push it down the field. First play looks like an interception or a fumble recovery. They go to the review. Pittsburgh gets the ball back. At that point, there's your signal. Just kneel it out. You're on the road. Kneel it out. No, they throw it again. Next play is almost immediately intercepted. Third play, almost intercepted. Like, at what point does Mike Tomlin need a wake-up call with his decision-making? Roethlisberger, late in that game, is scrambling and gets driven to the ground. He said he felt like he was dead. It hurt so bad.
Yeah.
Get down. Like, what are you doing?
Well, newsflash, after the year, Tomlin will be gone.
I don't know. Really?
No, you say
that, but Pittsburgh doesn't do that,
They don't do that to their head coaches.
I know, but I'm usually right when I make these type of calls. I think that you'll see a guy.
That's one thing that you're normally right about.
Because I think that
what type of calls? Like firings? Are you normally right on firings?
Yeah, I'm pretty good with coming to
firings. Vance Joseph is still employed, even though he said five straight weeks that he's going to be whacked, and yet Vance is still there. So I don't know how good you actually are, Coach.
Daniel?
As we let facts get in the way of an otherwise quaint narrative.
Keep living, Daniel. This will happen.
He also did the over on the Browns, and that was the first coach fired.
Oh, yeah. 2-6-1. And
So, literally, you can make the case that you're the worst for these types of things. At least in this room.
Thank you, Coach DeBoer.
Well, as I continue, if I may.
You may.
Here's the thing.
Hopefully this time it's something accurate.
Le'Veon Bell is not in the room. There's been a lot going on in Pittsburgh. And if you think about what's going on with Coach Tomlin, there's been speculations of all the things. You look at the OC, all the different things. If they don't win a Super Bowl this year, I really believe that Coach Tomlin will be fired and shown the door.
So if Tomlin gets to the AFC Championship game, wins, and then goes and loses a close one in the Super Bowl, you think they part ways with him?
I said they won't get to the Super Bowl, so that's why he's going to be fired.
You said if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, he's getting fired. So I'm saying he gets to the Super Bowl, but he loses it.
My whole thing is, maybe it was a mess up of words, because I'm just saying they're not getting to the AFC Championship, one.
Okay.
Two, they're not going to win a Super Bowl, so Coach Tomlin will be shown to
man, the Le'Veon team. Bell, how much money did he lose by holding out? Because they're not missing him one
James
iota.
James Conner looks great.
James Conner looks good enough.
Went to the University of Pittsburgh, cancer
survivor. Phenomenal.
What are you going to do? You're going to bring Le'Veon Bell back and sit that kid? Do you hear Tomlin's comments? We want volunteers here, not hostages. He called Le'Veon Bell a hostage.
Wow.
So trade him then. You should have traded him. You should have got something for him.
They can sit him all year and then slap the transitional tag on him next year, and he'll be right back where he was.
Now, if he comes back this week before the night, if he comes back now, he's got to play this year, and then they can't put the tag on him, correct? So they don't think they can keep the tag on him.
Adam Schefter was talking about the transition tag, though.
Yeah.
There's like a whole new thing they can use on him that it's you know what? That's their problem.
It's
we got our own problems here.
We got the
Grizzlies tonight. We're only 14-point favorites,
so it's too bad.
We'll try to figure that out. Unfortunately for you,
I'm out of time.
Enough monologues from you today. But a great Monday all the way around.
I figured that from you guys.
Cozumel and the Guru coming up next.
One's
there will
talking about
be a
chains,
mention
another one's
of Wiener Pills. I don't know when it's coming, but Guru will be telling you about the Wiener Pills.
Listen,
because I've been trying to get him to give me some of these so I can give him a try. It's supposed to be fantastic stuff. It's for 10 to noon. For us, Dibs, Ann, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it looks like somebody put a grilled cheese sandwich inside of your forehead.
All of us at 95.7 The Game want to thank you, the listener.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
for making us the number one sports station in the Bay Area.
Hey, Barry, it's your boy, Lo Neal. I just want to give a huge shout out and thank you very much for making us the number one sports station in the Bay Area.
Thank you, Bay Area sports fans.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!